Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's the 1-0. Fernando hits it in the air to deep left. Hap is back at the wall. Gonna go! Two-run homer! And the Padres lead it! 9-8.
What a great call, by the way.
That kind of really encapsulated like what the feeling was being in the stadium yesterday. The Padres down 8-0, put up a 7 spot in the 6th, and then get the 2-run Jimmy Johnson in the 8th to get the victory. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, what seemed to be or what was going to be a really crappy show to have to do today turned into a great show to have to do today because of the heroics of Fernando Tatis Jr., who had some of the most beautiful pair of shoes on yesterday.
Yes.
Padres get a nice victory to start the homestand. Chris, last time that happened, Max Scherzer was on the mound. Wasn't a Max Scherzer, but nonetheless, that win felt pretty good.
Didn't even need Daniel Camarena to pull that one off last night. That was something. And, you know, it's one thing that baseball has on every other sport, and it'll never be equaled, is the fact that there's always a game the next day. There's a day off here and there, but you get my point. I mean, you can have the extreme disappointment of losing on Sunday, followed up immediately by the exhilaration of that kind of victory the very next day. And, you know, these are the kind of wins. I know it's going to be overstated. Scraby's been walking around the studio. Again, he's in line to buy World Series tickets because they won that game. And we're going to talk about it for a while, but that is the kind of win you can lean on. I mean, sometime in June when you're down 7-2 in the late innings, you can say, hey, remember that Cub game? I mean, these are the kind of things that should and I think will help this team going forward.
I want to say a couple of things. First of all, what a great call. I said that already, but what a great call by Jesse there at the end. But the other thing I want to say is that, clap that up. There was there were some good things that happened in that ball game, aside from the 7 runs and then the 2-run homer. The Padres, I thought, even in the bludgeoning that was happening at the time, they did a good job of continuing to put at-bats together, right? It wasn't paying off. There wasn't a lot of hits. But there weren't any, like, throwaway at-bats. And that's the first thing. And, you know, Toddy had mentioned last night that, they were starting to talk about maybe getting the starters out of there and getting ready for the next game. That's a time where you could start seeing at-bats be wasted. And to their credit, they did. The other thing, Jackson Merrill, I know we talk a lot about his ability to put the bat on the ball, but it was his eye in that 8th inning that led to that walk. It wasn't a gimme walk, by the way. He had to earn his way on the base pass there to set that up. He continues to, I know he is being slept on right now. Let's leave it that way. Let him continue to be slept on. And lastly, Fernando. I mean, is the dude not built for those kind of moments?
He loves it.
It seems like more than anybody else in the league. And you wouldn't have won anybody else up in that spot given the circumstances. And the last thing I say, and this is a little bit more kind of a reality check. The Padres scored 9 runs yesterday to win that ball game. They're still not, you know, doing everything that they need to do in some of the other areas, specifically on the pitching side of things right now. Now, I know yesterday, Chris, you had talked about the starters starting to roll, and I just think you just couldn't find a breaking ball. That was really what I think plagued them. But, you know, Avila coming in after and surrendering 4 more runs, that could have been the nail in the coffin. And that's not to point out that Avila didn't have his best outing out there. He still was able to stop the bleeding that, you know, he kind of had going there. There is just this team is still not executing completely the way they do. And, you know, yesterday was a good night, obviously. But if this is going to be a consistent thing, those parts of the game are going to have to continue. I actually wasn't upset with the offense yesterday. I know they took to the 6th inning before they got going, but I like what I was watching in terms of the ABs. But some of the other stuff still has to be cleaned up, I think.
Well, Mike Schilt, I mean, he saw the same thing you were seeing, Tony, and that's why he did not pull the plug on that game, because he saw good at-bats. And he felt like we got to follow this through for a couple of more innings and see what happens. The other thing, watching the game on television last night, that was April 8th. It sounded like October 8th from the moment Fernando hit that home run right through the end of the game. I mean, the crowd, the crescendo that I could hear through the television, and Don Orsillo watching on television, you know, he's doing equally as good a job as Jesse. He hardly had to even announce when Robert Suarez was pitching in the 9th inning. Because the crowd was telling you it was a strike one. Every strike that Suarez threw in that 9th inning was a Josh Hader-like reaction to Game 4 of the playoff against the Dodgers. So the crowd really loved it. They were electric. And, you know, Suarez finishes it up, from what I read, with 14 consecutive 4-seam fastballs. I mean, he was just juiced up, and he said, here, I don't think you're going to be able to hit this the way I'm feeling right now.
From his last outing to this outing, I think it's something like 23 consecutive fastballs. Like, he hasn't thrown anything but fastballs, and I made that point during our game yesterday while it was happening. Like, there wasn't any breaking balls in there. Wasn't the changeup, which is his best secondary pitch. He was throwing fastballs. Not only was he throwing fastballs, Chris, but he was splitting the plate in half. He wasn't even going corners. This was just mano y mano. Here's my hundo. Yeah. What can you do with it? Nothing.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger was the only guy who got a piece of it, and he popped it straight up in the air. That's a great win. It erases the taste of Sunday, but, you know, it leaves you with a record of 6-7. And as you said, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. They got to play a lot better baseball overall. But I think this thing will carry you for a little while. And I just was, I was so impressed with that crowd last night. 33,000 sounded like 43,000, sounded like a sellout. People are just going crazy. The support that this franchise has been getting the last, 4 or 5 years, Tony, or has it even been that long, is unlike what I've ever seen before. I mean, maybe going back all the way to 1998, but
once they took the seal off of the coming to the ballpark in 2020, I think we had that halfway point where we had like the second opening day in 2021.
Right.
From that point on, it's been the same.
Yeah, fans have been really spectacular. You guys deserve a pat on the back for that. And, I mean, I felt like Suarez just was riding the wave of emotion through that 9th inning. And it was really something fun. I mean, when you know when you're sitting there in your living room and you kind of got the hair standing up a little bit on your arm because of just the, you know, the feel you're getting through the television. I really felt something in that ballpark. So
it did.
Great night for the Padres. Now they got to build on it.
The other thing that I thought was a positive, I didn't mention this, was Ha-Sung Kim. He had the triple on a good piece of hitting. First, they ruled it a single, and I almost like pulled the little bit of hair I had out because there's no way that should have been a single. My man was busting it just to try to cut that ball off. He didn't get there. And in his last at bat, he lined the left field hard.
Yes, he should have got a better result that time.
He should have got a better result. So I'm hopeful that he starts to get going. Because, you know, if Kim gets going, and even if Manny is still slow to start to pick up the pace that he is, you still got another cog in there that's swinging the bat well. So hopefully yesterday was a good sign for Ha Sung, and he can continue to get back to the level that he's been at.
You know who else I just want to throw a little mention on, too, because I put some shade on him last week. And that's Jurickson and Profar.
Mm.
Now the shade
I was getting to that.
Okay, oh. The shade I put on Jurickson was that I didn't think he's a guy you can count on to be an everyday number six hitter. Mike Schilt agrees. He put him five. But my you know, so I'm wrong right now. He's doing more than a credible job, Tony. He's doing a great job, and he's on base three times last night. A walk. Couple of hits, a run scored. He's got an OPS over 900. That's almost Juan Soto territory. So, you know, if Jurickson Profar keeps this up, they're getting a whole nother level of Jurickson Profar, and that is going to help this team. And it's also keeping Tommy Pham and everybody else at home.
Also, you know, listen, I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you with a straight face that he's going to be able to keep this up. But even if he doesn't keep it up at this level, just the way he's played left field, the things he brings to the lineup, he forces everybody in that lineup to look at what a good at bat looks like. Like, so if you're hitting behind him and he's just put together one of his, what, five, six, seven, eight pitch at bats, and you go up there and swing at the first pitch, it's like really obvious. Like, oh, man, that wasn't, and you roll over something. It's really obvious. So the more guys you have in your lineup like that, the more contagious those at-bats could become to be, right? Right now you got Jackson putting together those type of at-bats. Bogey usually puts together those type of at-bats. Jurickson puts together. Jake is putting those type of at-bats together. And so that's what Mike Schilt was seeing yesterday. You see at-bat after at-bat after at-bat, you're a little reluctant to wave the white flag. And that's why they were able to do it. Outside of Avila, you know, we were talking yesterday a little bit about roles and where guys can fit. That lined up perfectly last night for what Mike Schilt wanted to do. You know, it did. Pedro Avila, although he struggled a little bit through his three innings, he got through it. He got him to the sixth inning, or he got him through the sixth inning. And then they were able to bring in De Los Santos. They then brought in Wandy, who probably looked as good as he's looked this season coming out of the bullpen. And then Suarez, now I think up to 25 consecutive fastballs in the last two outings that he's had. He looks like a bona fide like closer. I don't know that I ever felt like that prior to this season so far.
Give him credit because he stepped into a space that needed to be filled, and we are less than 2 weeks basically into the season, and like you said, Tony, everybody feels pretty comfortable now with this ninth inning, and that's a credit to him because you're right. I never felt confident when Suarez before. I always felt like he could do it, but he also might not do it.
Right now,
I feel like he's pretty much going to do it. And, you know, he's going to blow a save somewhere along the line, so people get ready for that. But I don't think it's going to affect him. I think he'll come right back the next day if he has to and get the job done.
I think what's made me feel like that is the type of outings he has had so far. Like, they haven't looked like they looked last night in every one of those outings where he just are blowing fastball by guys 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? It's not really happening. Like, he's had some four-out saves. I think he had a five-out save where he kind of had to, you know, it was a little messy, and he's able to get up zeros. And those are the type of things that gives you confidence. Like, when it's not the easy 1-2-3 joint, it's a, you know, maybe a walk here, a broken bad single here, and all of a sudden you got to pitch your way out of it, and he's done a fantastic job. So you're right. He deserves a ton of credit for how things have gone. All right, let's get to break. Still talking Padres. We also got to talk a little bit about the national championship that ended with a back-to-back title. We'll explain when we return. If case you were under a rock, more Gwen and Chris on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. We are underway. Happy to be with you on a Tuesday. 2:21 is the time. Coming up on the program today, Sam Levitt will join us, talk a little deeper about this great Padre victory last night over the Chicago Cubs. 9-8 final. Sam Levitt getting a Gatorade bath last night for the first time in his Padre career. That's because Fernando...
He got some of that last night? Oh, yes, he did.
Fernando Tatis Jr. in those Tony Gwynn dancing shoes got himself out of the way, and Sam Levitt took the brunt.
He took a lot of it.
So we'll talk to him about that here in just a little bit. Also in the 3 o'clock hour today, another round of Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Scraby will take his best shot at Tony Gwynn Jr. in our weekly trivia contest, also the Daily Gambit, Chris versus the fans, and the Big Five. One quick note, Padre lineup is out for tonight's game, and it's the exact same as last night's. So beautiful. We'll run that down for you a little bit. But
run it back.
Run it back, says Mike Schilt. Yeah, we put 9 up there. Let's do it again. By the way, the Cubs announced their starting pitcher finally, Ben Brown. Don't know a lot about him, but I'm sure that by game time tonight, Tony Gwynn Jr. will have a complete scouting report ready for the...
I have a little something-something for you.
You have a little something-something for us. I appreciate that. Tony and Jesse have the call, of course, following Sam Levitt's pregame show, which tonight gets underway at 6:05. Who do we have to thank for the game starting at 7:05 tonight?
I know.
Good old TBS.
Yeah, go for it, Tony.
TBS.
Yes.
All right. You know, when I was
All right.
I know this is silly, but Scraby loves when I do this because he is a big fan of the great legendary musician Cher.
Oh, yes.
But way back when I was a little kid, I tell you, Dodger games that I went to started at 8:05.
Oh,
that is true.
What?
That's what they didn't care. Nothing about kids or families. It's just
8:05.
There's something nice about
you could
parent.
Go home from work, have dinner, change your clothes, you know, the whole thing, and and go out to the ball game. Of course, now I will say this: games didn't take quite as long. They weren't all on television. They got all done by maybe 10:15, 2 hour 15 minutes. But still, imagine a game starting at 8:05 now. Crazy.
I can't.
Lose their minds. They would, they would riot.
They would. But tonight, 7:05. So got a little extra half hour. UConn, that's just five letters that also, if you look them up in the dictionary, stand for powerhouse. I don't know what else you can say. This team is so good in so many different ways. And they dominated Purdue. Just like they dominated everybody, and they win their second straight national championship. A couple of quick Aztec thoughts before we get to last night's game. Number one, watching the game last night and seeing the stage of the national championship, it just kept taking me back to disbelief that last year we were in that game. Like, wow. Because this is as big as it gets. And honestly, last year the Aztecs were in it. And secondly, in the very end, Zach Edey or not, Purdue was just this year's version of the Aztecs.
Yeah, good point.
Good enough to get there, but just no match for Connecticut. I mean, the final scores were almost identical last year's championship and last night. So, you know, congratulations. I don't know what else you can say, whether you like them or don't like them. They are that good. Tony, I've watched a lot of basketball. There's two things that I see when I see a great team. Number one, they run their offense so well that they can get an open look every time down the floor. And it can be any player who gets that open look. Yep. And I think that applies to UConn. Number two, their defense is so good, they dictate to you what they want you to do.
Yep.
And you can't do anything about it. They let Zach Edey score 37 points last night on purpose, practically, so that the three-point shooters for Purdue couldn't get a single shot. And they ended up making 1-for-7 in the game. One three-pointer the whole game.
I said it yesterday. They were not going to double-team Edey.
Right.
And they didn't.
No.
And because he didn't double-team, he couldn't kick it out for wide-open looks. They shot 7 threes. That's it.
They only had two attempts in the first half. I think most of those attempts came kind of in garbage time, honestly.
Yeah. They, as you said, I think that was perfectly explained for dominant teams like that. Anybody can score. Their offense is run so immaculate that, you know, they got counters to the counters to the counters.
Right.
Within their offense, they know what to do when XYZ breaks down, and it can be anybody. And then on defensive end, they're long enough, and they're more importantly, they're athletic enough to switch everything. And then with the big men, one-on-one, they had a dude who could at least, you know, make it difficult. They knew Edey was going to get what he was going to get anyway. You know, what we've learned also in this tournament, as you brought up yesterday, is that that young man is a good ball player. He's got a chance, you know. And that was Purdue's best shot, and UConn knew it. Let him get his. Everybody else shut him down. That's exactly what they did.
They're so good. The other thing is it sounds like, well, why didn't everybody else use that strategy? Because not everybody else has a 7-2 center that can defend Edey to a certain extent. You know, other teams just can't do that against Purdue. They have to come down and do some double teaming and some things like that. But if we would have told you before the game that in a Zach Edey game, UConn would outscore Purdue with points in the paint, you know, you would have said, well, how's that possible? They don't have anybody 7-4. But they're so good. They're so good. There's just nothing you can do. And, you know, Purdue found that out last night. Charles Barkley was on point. He said UConn just figured Zach Edey not going to score 70 points, so let him score as many as he wants.
Right.
And that was just really well done. I don't know. The Aztec, I'm trying to compare the Aztecs last year to Purdue this year. And I think if those two teams played each other, I think the Aztecs would have had a pretty good chance against a Purdue, because the Aztecs would have had Mensa, and they would have had a Ladie and a bunch of bodies they could run at Edey. And I think Brian Dutcher would have used the same strategy, you know, defensively. And I think that Aztec team, you know, would have matched up pretty well with this Purdue team. But in the end, they win 12 straight tournament games, all by 13 or more points. And
crazy.
The Aztecs can, you know, say they're a bit of a footnote to this history because they lost each year to UConn. And the good news is the Aztecs have made the final Sweet 16 now 4 times in program history. The bad news is UConn has won the championship every one of those years. So it's kind of annoying, to be honest with you. Somebody brought this up today, too. Where is and what is going on in Storrs, Connecticut, that gets kids to go there?
I don't know.
This is, from what I'm told, I've been to Hartford, Connecticut before.
Beautiful this time of year.
O-O-R-S, that's where the campus is. There's nothing there, apparently. There's nothing near there,
I guess,
apparently.
That's why they're so locked in on hooping.
I guess
else
so.
To do out there.
But, I mean, Gino Auriemma has built, obviously, the all-time power there. And now the men are, you know, they got to be considered the all-time powerhouse of this era. I'm sorry, Duke. I'm sorry, North Carolina, but you're not these guys.
You can make the argument that that's all of the 2000s, really. I mean, they were. Was this their fifth title since 2000?
Five, and the other one was in 1999. So,
good note to
self. 6 and 25 years.
Brian on the chat says he grew up in Connecticut, and there's nothing to do. It's in
They're locked in on hooping. They go to the gym. They go to school. They go to eat. They go to the gym.
How do they get them to go there in the first place? There has to be more exciting places that kids would want to go.
Clearly, these kids are at both programs. Are very motivated by basketball. And so you get the right kind of person in there that wants to eat, sleep.
Yeah.
You know what? And play basketball. That means you're going to have a good
I don't think
program.
They have time for you know what, to be honest with you.
You always have time for you know what.
I wanted to say one thing about watching UConn play. And Jay Wright did a really good job on the breakdown after the game. But I'm going to go a little, get off my lawn, older guy. I still love the game of basketball when it's played beautifully like that.
Yeah.
All five guys at the offensive end are moving at one time. And if you watch an NBA game, unfortunately now, they just don't need to do that. You know, they can give the ball in a high ball screen and everybody else get out of the way. And the NBA players are so good, they can score and you can't stop it. So why do anything else? But it's fun to watch college basketball again with five guys all with a designed job and all doing their job and sharing the basketball. It can really be a beautiful game to watch when it's played like that.
I'll say this about the NBA. That was part of the reason why everybody fell in love with Golden State. Because, I know we focus in on Steph Curry pulling from 35 feet out, but part of what made their offense so good is that you had people back cutting off of back cuts and the balls moving around. I mean, that's kind of why they were a dynasty during that period of time. But you're right. That basketball is very entertaining to watch, whether you're there in person or whether you're on TV. Just seeing a ball like move around like that, I think, is just pretty cool.
Yeah.
Julian on the chat said that he knows why people go and play Connecticut, and I'm not sure if this number is correct, but it's $26 million in NIL money is passed around, so that would help.
NIL money is passed around everywhere.
But $26 million, that's a lot.
Dan Hurley did say on his postgame, he said, everything is great about this program, including the support that we get for this program. They give us what we need to get the job done. But this guy's a really good coach.
And by the way,
he goes a little crazy on the refs. I will say that.
His own player?
Yes, I wouldn't even know what to call that.
Hey, remember when you got mad at Nate Oates? Why aren't you furious with Hurley?
Because he's a winner.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, but I did when I saw that replay, I was like, I don't even know what I would call there. I've never seen a coach do that actually.
Do you think he blacked out? Because I swear when I was watching him argue that on the sideline,
right,
he was saying that
he didn't
touch it.
Yeah, the ref looked at him and said, "Coach, you just shoved your own player.
You literally put your hand in his back and pushed him in a direction you wanted him to go."
It wasn't even a close, call.
No.
I mean, it was obvious. Yeah, Dan Hurley's a little bit wackadoodle, but I will say this, a lot of geniuses are. And this guy's a pretty darn good coach.
I know we got to get to break, but I'll say this. They get that support. They're only having the support, really. UConn's football team, they're any good?
They don't have anything,
It's all basketball. All basketball and baseball, I think, out there.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break, talk more baseball. Padres, great win last night. As we know, Sam Levitt. How did he end up with the Gatorade bath when it was all said and done? We'll find out next on Gwen and Chris.
.239 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Sam Levitt will join us here shortly. The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening to 97.3 The Fan, you can see what you missed and click to listen on demand. Missed a guest, feature, or if some crazy thing has happened from earlier, we've got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap earlier today and get started.
One thing real quick, Tony, before you go on tomorrow, tonight's game's at 7:05. Tomorrow's game is a weird start as well at 3:40. But I want to just alert everybody. Tomorrow is the Scrabinator Day in the suite. The Odyssey Suite, Matt Scraby, inviting all of his listeners. Oh. And he's giving out tickets.
Oh.
And tomorrow...
Scraby's hosting?
Scraby's hosting the big party in the suite tomorrow.
I am. Tickets have been accounted for.
Yeah, I know. So. He had like over 500
sign-ups
yeah. to win
wow.
tickets. The Scraby,
your
Chronicles
is starting to blow
no
up.
No kidding,
here,
man. The Scraby Chronicles, we wouldn't get 500 people sign up to sit with us in the suite.
Well, as Chris said so nicely yesterday, oh, a bunch of people signed up for free Padres tickets?
Yeah, it is a little surprising, isn't it?
No, I'm very excited. And I even got the preliminary green light on a Scrabinator Night Part 2 later in the year because of the response.
Yes, he's already sold the front office here on a second occasion.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will help or hurt your celebration tomorrow, Scraby, but I am planning on coming by to say hello during the festivities tomorrow.
I'm so excited.
I'm supporting the Scraby Chronicles.
I'm just kidding. I invited Chris down there.
You invited me down. I'm going to come down and say
and
hi and watch a little of the ball game tomorrow.
I think the guy we're about to talk to is going to stop by as well because he's, let's be honest, the most popular guy
in the
room.
He's the biggest hit we've got on the station, for sure.
Is he dry yet?
I don't know. Let's ask him.
He's here.
Joining us on Gwen and Chris is none other than Sam the Great Levitt. Sam, how are you, man? Are you dry up, man? You look like you caught a nice dose of Gatorade last night.
I did. The jacket got wet. The pants got wet. My hair was dripping. Yes, but I did dry off. It's funny. It looked on the video and like in real time like it was somewhat bluish Gatorade, but it was pretty light. And I got to tell you, my pants, which were, you know, khaki-colored pants, I have no stains on them. Probably have to get the jacket dry clean, but I got fortunate. That was one of my older jackets last night. But yes, a first for me in my baseball career, a Gatorade bath. And I didn't take the brunt of it. Fernando definitely did, but I got part of it. So I do feel like I was initiated into the Gatorade cooler bath at club.
Are you going to send a bill to Manny Machado or whoever it was who tossed the Gatorade that is going to force you to have a bill at the dry cleaner? Or are you just going to eat this one yourself?
Well, there's no doubt that the guys that were involved, Manny and Fernando, could afford it, but.
Yes.
But I'm thinking Odyssey and Adam Klug. Maybe they'll cover
that. There you go.
Please charge them.
Yeah, please take it out of my salary, Sam. Make sure you take it out of my salary. That's good.
I would say, I don't know, man. That might be tough. That might be tough to get that back at that point. I will ask you about being in the building last night because this ball club was down 8-0. And Chris kind of brought this up when – the Padres scored the 7 and the 6. It was as loud in this building as, you know, I've heard in quite some time. What was your take being in the building and kind of seeing the comeback come together the way it did?
Well, I thought the building was actually pretty loud on the Cronenworth home run. And I think that's a credit to the fans here in general. And I don't just say this to say it and because we've got an audience full of Padres fans. I always feel like the crowd's into it, no matter really what the score is. When something good happens for the Padres, the fans here generally respond to it. And I thought it was that way last night after the Cronenworth home run. And then it sort of built from there. I thought, obviously, the momentum offensively the Padres had, but also in the stands by what you heard from the crowd. You could really feel it on the Kim two-run triple in the blink of an eye. It went from 8-0 to 8-4, and you could feel, whether it was on the field or in the stands, I thought you could feel the momentum starting to shift. And then once Bogarts hit the home run, really became kind of, okay, they've got a real shot to win this game. And to be honest with you, once Bogarts hit the home run, I kind of felt like they had to win the game because, you know, had they lost at 8-7 or tied it at 8 and ultimately lost or, you know, taken the lead and ultimately lost, I think you could have made the argument. You might as well have just lost 8-0, 8-1, 8-2, and saved kind of the heartache. But, you know, good for them. They showed a ton of fight. It's exactly what you want to see night in, night out, as cliche as that sounds. They showed exactly what you wanted last night, and it came from the big guys, right? It came from the guys that you want to carry this offense for the most part. So a big credit to them, no doubt.
You can relive it on tonight's pregame show. Sam Levitt hosts it following our program at 6:05 tonight, and then the Padres and Cubs game two of the series at 7:05. I think you hit on that, Sam. When they got to within 8-7, it felt like they had to win. Right? You got to finish this off. And then Fernando, of course, so good at stepping into the spotlight. And you know, as Tony mentioned earlier, he's the guy you want up there, and he always plays a starring role and plays it well. But then you got to the ninth inning and Suarez comes in, and you have that quick thought in your back of your mind, man, I hope this is a save he's really got to get, because you don't want to come all the way back and then lose the game. And you had the 2-3-4 hitters right in the heart of their lineup, and yet the crowd would not let him, not get the job done. It felt like he rode their wave to that save.
Yeah, I loved it. 14 straight fastballs, right? I mean, he said to the middle of that lineup, come get it. And he blew it by him and obviously got a pop out in there as well. But, you know, look, I think one of the real bright spots of this early season, no doubt, has been the fact that Robert Suarez has A, performed really well, but B, also shown you that he can give you multiple innings. And he has no problem, even this early in a season, going and getting 4 or 5 outs. So I think in grand picture of the year so far, even though they're sitting at 6-7, you'd like the record to be a little bit better. I think the fact that Suarez, at least early, has really established himself as this team's closer and somebody who can go get you more than 3 outs, I think is really, really important in the short and long run. And I'll also say about the rally, I talked about the big guys carrying the way, and they did. But there were so many different aspects to that rally, right? Whether you want to point to, obviously, the at-bat that Cronenworth had. Something clicked for this team offensively once he had that at-bat. There was a clear change. And, by the way, it got Assad out of the game, who really they had not done anything against until that two-run homer. But the fact that Pedro Avila was able to settle down and give him 2 scoreless innings after giving up 4 in the fourth. The fact that Peralta and De Los Santos were able to keep it a one-run game. I mean, you know, that kind of comeback, the focus, the memories are always, you know, about the offense and the rally, but there are some other elements to it where you've got to keep that a one-run game at that time, and they did. So, look, Suarez, obviously a big part of it, shutting the door, and obviously the rest of the bullpen, aside from the one inning from Avila, they did a good job keeping it at 8-0 and then keeping it at 8-7.
Yeah, I turned to Jesse at one point after Avila's inning is like, after he came out, I was like, they got to throw up zeros from this point on. And that bullpen did just that. You mentioned Jake Cronenworth, who, you know, is coming off of a rough year. He seems to be thriving right now after some of the changes he's made and having Victor Rodriguez at the helm here. He's swinging a bat well. And it wasn't just the homer. It was kind of the way he's gone about. He went about that at bat. And it wasn't just him. Profar had those kind of at bats. Jackson Merrill had those kind of at bats. It seemed to be, what Mike Shildt kind of leaned on when he was thinking about waving a white flag.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were able to grind out at bats like that, and you said it, Tony, whether it was Cronenworth, whether it was Profar, whether it was Merrill, the fact that they were down 8 runs, and Cronenworth in particular in that spot was able to grind out that kind of at bat and then ultimately have the result he did with the home run. Yeah, I mean, I hope it says something about this team. I mean, in the first week of the year, we talked a lot about, you know, early signs and indicators, right, that this team was different than what it was a year ago. And then we have the 6-game stretch before last night where the offense isn't doing really much and they can't score than a few runs in a game. And you've got some of the memories and the feelings and some of the things and problems we saw last year sort of creeping back in. But, you know, I talked on Sunday after the game in San Francisco about that game being one you could pull right from the 2023 book, put it on the table and say, yep, that's one of those games from 2023 in San Francisco, right? And Sunday felt that way. Last night did not feel like 2023.
That was the kind of 2022 right there.
Right. That was the kind of grinding out at bats no matter the score, stringing hits together, moving the line, creating some momentum, and then ultimately coming up with the big swings and big moments when you need them. I mean, how about Fernando? I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but to get knocked down on the first pitch and then the second pitch to hit one out, I mean, that is, I mean, I wasn't here for it, but that sounds to me kind of like 2021 Fernando Tatis Jr., right? The flair for the dramatic, the feel for the moment, the big swing, everything he did but before the injuries. So, yeah, I mean, I think you hope in the long run it says something about this group, and I thought no doubt last night that felt uniquely 2024, you hope, and not very much like 2023, and you hope you have more nights like those. So to their credit, you hope it's something now they can build on.
I don't know. You can talk all you want about that game last night, but I think it all comes down to Spike Lee, and I think it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be
Mars Blackman.
Mars Blackman, yeah, not Spike Lee. Spike Lee as Mars Blackman. It's got to be the shoes. Fernando is nothing if not an entertainer, Sammy. And I think that, you know, this is one of the real pleasures that we're getting from watching this guy play on a daily basis. He lives for running out there to right field before the game and stirring up the crowd. He loves, you know, giving them a little extra flair with the shoes and a little extra flair with the dramatic. And by the way, Scraby said he timed it and he ran around the bases in exactly 19 seconds. Whether he did that on purpose or not, it's still another tribute to Tony Gwynn. You know, just talk about covering this guy and just being around him. Yeah. You get to do something that not very many of us do, and that's, you know, interview him. We've been begging for a Fernando interview, if any Padre people are listening, for a while now, and we haven't had him on this show that I can recall in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get to talk to him all the time. I mean, he's so fun, and he's such an amazing presence.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that stand out about Fernando when you hear from him every day and you get the chance to talk to him. Number one, I think he's somebody who really understands his responsibility as a key player, as a star in the game and for his team. I mean, I don't think it's talked about enough. Throughout last season, I mean, he was up there in front of the media most nights talking, right? And you know, accountable, and I just find him to really understand, you know, what he means to this team, what he means to this city, how important he is, the responsibility he has between the player he is, the contract. The vibe I've always had is that he really gets it, and he understands what that responsibility is, and he's somebody who.
.239 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Sam Levitt will join us here shortly. The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening to 97.3 The Fan, you can see what you missed and click to listen on demand. Missed a guest, feature, or if something crazy, if some crazy thing has happened from earlier, we've got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap earlier today and get started.
One thing, real quick, Tony, before you go on tomorrow, tonight's game's at 7:05. Tomorrow's game is a weird start as well at 3:40. But I want to just alert everybody, tomorrow is the Scrabinator Day in the suite. The Odyssey suite, Matt Scraby, inviting all of his listeners, and he's giving out tickets.
Oh.
And tomorrow,
Scraby's hosting?
Scraby's hosting the big party in the suite tomorrow.
I am. Tickets have been accounted for.
Yeah, I know. So. He had like over 500
sign-ups
yeah. to win tickets. The Scraby
Your
Chronicles
is starting to blow
no
up.
No kidding,
Blair.
Man. The Scraby Chronicles, we wouldn't get 500 people sign up to sit with us in the
suite. Well, as Chris said so nicely yesterday, oh, a bunch of people signed up for free Padres tickets?
Yeah, it is a little surprising, isn't it?
No, I'm very excited. And I even got the preliminary green light on a Scrivenator Knight Part 2 later in the year.
Yes,
because
he's already
of the
sold,
response.
The, sold the front office here on a second occasion.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will help or hurt your celebration tomorrow, Scravy, but I am planning on coming by to say hello during the festivities tomorrow.
I'm so excited.
I'm supporting the Scravy Chronicles.
I'm just kidding. I invited Chris down there.
You invited me down. I'm going to come down and say
and
hi and watch a little of the ball game tomorrow.
I think the guy we're about to talk to is going to stop by as well because he's, let's be honest, the most popular guy.
He's
the
biggest hit we've got on the station, for sure.
Is he dry yet?
I don't know. Let's ask him.
He's here.
Joining us on Gwen and Chris is none other than Sam the Great Levitt. Sam, how are you, man? Are you dry up, man? You look like you caught a nice dose of Gatorade last night.
I did. The jacket got wet. The pants got wet. My hair was dripping. Yes, but I did dry off. It's funny. It looked on the video and like in real time, like it was somewhat bluish Gatorade, but it was pretty light. And I got to tell you, my pants, which were, you know, khaki colored pants, I have no stains on them. Probably have to get the jacket dry clean, but I got fortunate. That was one of my older jackets last night. But yes, a first for me in my baseball career, a Gatorade bath. And I didn't take the brunt of it. Fernando definitely did, but I got part of it. So I do feel like I was initiated into the Gatorade cooler bath at club.
Are you going to send a bill to Manny Machado or whoever it was who tossed the Gatorade that is going to force you to have a bill at the dry cleaner? Or are you just going to eat this one yourself?
Well, there's no doubt that the guys that were involved, Manny and Fernando, could afford it. But
yes,
but I'm thinking Odyssey and Adam Klug. Maybe they'll cover
that. There you go.
Please charge them.
Yeah, please take it out of my salary, Sam. Make sure you take it out of my salary. That's good.
I would say, I don't know, man. That might be tough. That might be tough to get that back at that point. I will ask you about being in the building last night because –
yeah.
This ball club was down 8-0. And Chris kind of brought this up. When the Padres scored the 7 in the 6th, it was as loud in this building as, you know, I've heard in quite some time. What was your take being in the building and kind of seeing the comeback come together the way it did?
Well, I thought the building was actually pretty loud on the Cronenworth home run. And I think that's a credit to the fans here in general. And I don't just say this to say it and because we've got an audience full of Padres fans. I always feel like the crowd's into it, no matter really what the score is. When something good happens for the Padres, the fans here generally respond to it. And I thought it was that way last night after the Cronenworth home run. And then it sort of built from there. I thought, obviously, the momentum offensively the Padres had, but also in the stands by what you heard from the crowd. You could really feel it on the Kim two-run triple. It, in the blink of an eye, it went from 8-0 to 8-4, and you could feel, whether it was on the field or in the stands, I thought you could feel the momentum starting to shift. And then once Bogarts hit the home run, really became kind of, okay, they've got a real shot to win this game. And to be honest with you, once Bogarts hit the home run, I kind of felt like they had to win the game because, you know, had they lost at 8-7 or tied it at 8 and ultimately lost or, you know, taken the lead and ultimately lost, I think you could have made the argument you might as well have just lost 8-0, 8-1, 8-2 and saved kind of the heartache. But, you know, good for them. They showed a ton of fight. It's exactly what you want to see night in, night out, as cliche as that sounds. They showed exactly what you wanted last night, and it came from the big guys, right? It came from the guys that you want to carry this offense for the most part. So a big credit to them, no doubt.
You can relive it on tonight's pregame show. Sam Levitt hosts it following our program at 6:05 tonight, and then the Padres and Cubs game two of the series at 7:05. I think you hit on that, Sam. When they got to within 8-7, it felt like they had to win. Right? You got to finish this off. And then Fernando, of course, so good at stepping into the spotlight. And, you know, as Tony mentioned earlier, he's the guy you want up there, and he always, plays a starring role and plays it well. But then you got to the ninth inning and Suarez comes in, And you have that quick thought in your back of your mind. Man, I hope he makes, this is a save he's really got to get, because you don't want to come all the way back and then lose the game. And he had the 2-3-4 hitters right in the heart of their lineup, and yet the crowd would not let him, you know, not get the job done. It felt like he rode their wave to that save.
Yeah, I loved it. 14 straight fastballs, right? I mean, he said to the middle of that lineup, come get it. And he blew it by him and obviously got a pop out in there as well. But, you know, look, I think one of the real bright spots of this early season, no doubt, has been the fact that Robert Suarez has A, performed really well, but B, also shown you that he can give you multiple innings. And he has no problem, even this early in a season, going and getting four or five outs. So I think in grand picture of the year so far, even though they're sitting at 6-7, you'd like the record to be a little bit better. I think the fact that Suarez, at least early, has really established himself as this team's closer and somebody who can go get you more than three outs, I think is really, really important in the short and long run. And I'll also say about the rally, I talked about the big guys carrying the way, and they did. But there were so many different aspects to that rally, right? Whether you want to point to, obviously, the at-bat that Cronenworth had. Something clicked for this team offensively once he had that at-bat. There was a clear change. And, by the way, it got Assad out of the game, who really they had not done anything against until that two-run homer. But the fact that Pedro Avila was able to settle down and give him two scoreless innings after giving up four in the fourth. The fact that Peralta and De Los Santos were able to keep it a one-run game. I mean, you know, that kind of comeback, the focus, the memories are always, you know, about the offense and the rally, but there are some other elements to it where you've got to keep that a one-run game at that time, and they did. So, look, Suarez, obviously a big part of it, shutting the door, and obviously the rest of the bullpen, aside from the one inning from Avila, they did a good job keeping it at 8-0 and then keeping it at 8-7.
Yeah, I turned to Jesse at one point after Avila's inning is like, after he came out, I was like, they got to throw up zeros from this point on. And that bullpen did just that. You mentioned Jake Cronenworth, who, you know, is coming off of a rough year. He seems to be thriving right now after some of the changes he's made and having Victor Rodriguez at the helm here. He's swinging a bat well. And it wasn't just the homer. It was kind of the way he's gone about. He went about that at bat. And it wasn't just him. Profar had those kind of at bats. Jackson Merrill had those kind of at bats. It seemed to be, you know, and that was seemed to be what Mike Shildt kind of leaned on when he was thinking about waving a white flag.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were able to grind out at bats like that, and you said it, Tony, whether it was Cronenworth, whether it was Profar, whether it was Merrill. The fact that they were down 8 runs, and Cronenworth in particular in that spot was able to grind out that kind of at bat and then ultimately have the result he did with the home run. Yeah, I mean, I hope it says something about this team. I mean, in the first week of the year, we talked a lot about, you know, early signs and indicators, right, that this team was different than what it was a year ago. And then we have the 6-game stretch before last night where the offense isn't doing really much, and they can't score than a few runs in a game, and you've got some of the memories and the feelings and some of the things and problems we saw last year sort of creeping back in. But, you know, I talked on Sunday after the game in San Francisco about that game being one you could pull right from the 2023 book, put it on the table and say, yep, that's one of those games from 2023 in San Francisco, right? And Sunday felt that way. Last night did not feel like 2023.
That was the kind of 2022 right there.
Right. That was the kind of grinding out at bats no matter the score, stringing hits together, moving the line, creating some momentum, and then ultimately coming up with the big swings and big moments when you need them. I mean, how about Fernando? I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but to get knocked down on the first pitch and then the second pitch to hit one out, I mean, that is, I mean, I wasn't here for it, but that sounds to me kind of like 2021 Fernando Tatis Jr., right? The flair for the dramatic, the feel for the moment, the big swing, everything he did before the injury. So, I think you hope in the long run it says something about this group, and I thought no doubt last night that felt uniquely 2024, you hope, and not very much like 2023, and you hope you have more nights like those. So to their credit, you hope it's something now they can build on.
I don't know. You can talk all you want about that game last night, but I think it all comes down to Spike Lee, and I think it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be
Mars Blackman.
Mars Blackman, yeah, not Spike Lee. Spike Lee as Mars Blackman. It's got to be the shoes. Fernando is nothing if not an entertainer, Sammy. And I think that, you know, this is one of the real pleasures that we're getting from watching this guy play on a daily basis. He lives for running out there to right field before the game and stirring up the crowd. He loves, you know, giving them a little extra flair with the shoes and a little extra flair with the dramatic. And by the way, Scraby said he timed it, and he ran around the bases in exactly 19 seconds. Whether he did that on purpose or not, it's still another tribute to Tony Gwynn. You know, just talk about covering this guy and just being around him. Yeah. You get to do something that not very many of us do, and that's, you know, interview him. We've been begging for a Fernando interview, if any Padre people are listening, for a while now, and we haven't had him on this show that I can recall in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get to talk to him all the time. I mean, he's so fun, and he's such an amazing presence.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that stand out about Fernando when you hear from him every day and you get the chance to talk to him. Number one, I think he's somebody who really understands his responsibility as a key player, as a star in the game and for his team. I mean, I don't think it's talked about enough. Throughout last season, I mean, he was up there in front of the media most nights talking, right? And you know, accountable, and I just find him to really understand, you know, what he means to this team, what he means to this city, how important he is, the responsibility he has between the player he is, the contract. The vibe I've always had is that he really gets it, and he understands what that responsibility is. And he's somebody who obviously plays with joy and energy, and he's super fun to watch. And it's part of why he's so electric. It's part of why the fans love him here so much. It's part of the why, you know, younger fans love him so much, because he just brings this joy to the game. But he also has this, I think when you talk again about understanding, like an understanding of the moment, he always says it, right? Something along the lines of doing what the game asks of him, you know? And I just think he understands what a game is presenting, what situations present, and kind of gets what his role is and understands that he's got to step up and be that guy when his team needs it. And again, I know that sounds super cliche, but we saw it in 21, and man, we saw it here last night. So, you know, I'm always impressed by just Fernando and, you know, what he continues to show. And obviously he went through a lot, you know, in 22 and then coming back last year from the suspension and the injuries. But I'm very, very excited, you know, to see what his mid to late 20s look like and really the next decade or so, because I think there are a lot of great things ahead, and he's going to be a, you know, a real force and a real kind of, you know, leading part of this team, no doubt.
Pray for health, because if he's healthy,
yeah,
it's going to be, the sky is honestly the limit for Toddy. Sam, as always, man, terrific job last night, and thanks for coming on and kind of peeling the curtain back for us.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sam Levitt, Gwynn and Chris, let's get to break. When we return, roster move for the Pods. On the other side, more Gwynn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.